Thank you very much, Hayden. It's really gladdens our heart to see our young people rising up. Amen. And gladdens my heart to see my grandson and grandchildren just rising up. But all our people who bring praise and worship in our church, our music team and others who are involved in the services that just make a service happen. You know, there are many things that's not just a matter of opening the doors and things happen, but it takes people. So we encourage, thank you there, Vince, little acts like that. Acts of service, that's the heart of God, isn't it? You know, to be a blessing people and to encourage one another. I was encouraged in one of the songs there, it's true when people pray, the skies will open. And obviously, as we've seen over the last couple of days, just how much God's true to his word. And when people pray that God will pour out his blessing, you know, he's going to pour out his spirit. But, you know, just as that rained on us, that's what God wants to do in our lives. You know, for his spirit just to come upon us in a wonderful way. We got up this morning and my wife, Pat, said, oh, it poured down last night. And I thought, well, I didn't hear it pour. Of course, with my hearing anyway. But so I just went off to sleep. I must have slept fairly heavy, I think. But anyway, I thought, I'll go out and check the rain gauge. And so I checked the rain gauge and praise God, there was... what was it, 37 mil of rain in the rain gauge. That was just last night, but over the whole weekend I've recorded 88 millimetres of rain in our backyard anyway. So that's just a wonderful blessing of God, and people are rejoicing everywhere about the rain, except some farmers all the same, you know, they're never happy. Even when it rains, but you accept the rain, and even if it may not come at the right appropriate time, it's always a blessing. And but it's really good to see that. Do you notice how things green up? Everything looks so much greener when you get that natural rain, the hydrogen and all the chemicals or whatever in the natural rain. It just brings plants to life, and that's what God wants to do with us. He wants to bring us to life in many ways. So, and so tonight I want to speak about you know, our part in playing carrying out you know, that bringing to life the Spirit of God within people, within ourselves, and in the lives of other people. And so tonight, to what I want to speak about is faith for me, then you. You know, I pass my faith on to you. You pass your faith on to someone else. And that's what it's all about. We've been given this wonderful gift from God, haven't we? That he's invested himself in our lives. That he's become a part of us. And we are his people. We are temples of the Holy Spirit. We claim and profess to be born again Christian people. And with that in mind, you know, God said, my spirit is in you. And the very words of Jesus said, he said, you can do the things that I do. And he's commissioned, he's given us that commission to go out. And as he walked the land and preached and taught, he said, you go out and do the same and make the disciples just as I made disciples. And so that's one of what I'd like to speak a bit about tonight is about witnessing, sharing our faith. And some Christians struggle with sharing their faith. Others do it better. You know, we all do it in different ways. We all have different gifts and abilities and the way we relate and the way we connect people. But whenever we get an opportunity, the thought is, the idea is, you know, you want to connect to that person and share your faith, don't we? And so there's just a few things I want to share tonight that might help us do that. But So in doing that and saying that, many Christians, just like I just said, we all do things differently, but many Christians seem to be intimidated by the idea of sharing their faith. You know, as I said, some do it better. We all do it differently. Some are better than others. You see some people, you say, oh, they're a real evangelist, you know, and it sets your heart on fire. A person like Lashana, she's one of those go-getters that'll speak to a fly on the wall just about. But she's one of those natural, she has that natural ability just to go up and to speak someone. And, that's what God wants from all of us, you know. That's his heart desire that we would to be just a part of our everyday living and conversation, that we just go out and reach and teach people eventually. So, but as I said, many Christians are intimidated by the idea of sharing the faith. But as we know, Jesus never intended the Great Commission to be an impossible burden. He said, my yoke is light. And he made it easy for us, or has made it easy for us, by giving himself on the cross for us. And he opened the way, paved the way. Everything is ready for us that we can follow in his footsteps, so to speak. But God meant us to be witnesses of Jesus through the natural outcome of living for him. It has to be a natural progression of faith. What was Paul's claim? For me to live is Christ, yeah. So that has to be an inbuilt thing within us, as we are part of God's kingdom and his people. And that's what he wants us to do. And it's not about, you know, doing all these courses and going to video Bible schools and that. When you become a Christian, the evangelistic thrust in you has already started, hasn't it? And as you grow, as you come along the church, you share with other believers, you gradually get built up. Your faith level grows. It rises up, doesn't it? So there's that inbuilt thing that is within us that God wants to let it flow from us. And God's made it easy. He's designed an easy evangelism program for us. And he's made it simple for us, and all he said, and he's showing us to be an example of Christ. And that's all God wants us. He wants us to be godly people, Christ-like people. And as I said early on, we all have different ways of reaching out and evangelizing and speaking to people. But often we see something. There's nothing worse than somebody trying to preach about something going on in your life when all you can think about is finding a way to fix it. And that's the last thing you want, that someone come along Bible bashing you in the ear sort of thing, and people don't want you in your life. So that's why we need to be a sensitive sort of people, don't we, in the way we go about our evangelism. And often you get led to a person and their life is in a turmoil and you want to think, but at that moment, at that time, you know, the last thing they want to see is somebody carrying a Bible acting like they know exactly what you need and how you feel. And the truth be told is when they ask you to read from their Bible or something, all you're thinking is you're going to want to knock them over the head with it. And so, this is the very scenario that makes the concept of sharing your faith so intimidating. People get a little bit scared, don't we? And often we might be clumsy about the way we share our faith. But at the same time, in doing that, we don't want to be seen as a overboring, obnoxious sort of people, do we? We want to be seen as a friendly type, outgoing sort of people who are are Christ-like people who are friendly in their approach and all that sort of thing. And so we see most people want to help others, don't we? It's a natural thing in us. If we see someone who needs help, we go to them. Often see people with a broken down car or something, you stop and you want to help, or if someone's hurt or fall over in the street, you pick them up. It's that natural thing within us, that we want to help. But also, particularly in evangelizing, but knowing what to say and how to say it often stops you in your tracks, don't it? Because we get this bit of a block up, I think, and what am I going to say? How am I going to approach? Or how am I going to say this to them, So we shy off a little bit, how do you share your faith without making people run away and hide from you? I feel people can spot a shonk or a shyster from a mile away. We often sense what people are like, aren't we? The absolute worst things that we can do when we're confronting people is saying one thing and doing another. We've got to be Christ-like people. And that has to show out in our approach in reaching out to people. We don't want to be an obnoxious people. We have to be a friendly, a caring, a loving type of people. All these things have to fall in place as a part of our evangelism and reaching out. And so I'm saying, if you're not committed to applying Christian principles in your own life, well, we're not going to be effective, are we? You'll only be ineffective, but we will also be seen as insincere and phony. People aren't as interested in what you say as they are in seeing how's it working in your life. We can tell people all the things, great and wondrous things, but if it's not outworking in our own lives, it's not going to be very convincing, is it, showing others. I feel one of the best ways to share your faith is to demonstrate the very things you believe, Christ-like people. And we can only do that by staying positive and having a good attitude, even in the middle of crisis in your life. As the pastor said this morning, things will come against us. We will have circumstances and situations, but how are we going to handle it? Are we going to switch off from God and just say, I'm not going to be a witness today or tomorrow because I'm going through all this trials and troubles? No, God doesn't want that. He wants us. So that's where it's a part of living a victorious life, isn't it? And just showing that we are Christ-like people, that we can stand on and be on top of circumstances, and we will be the people that God wants us to be in the very midst of trouble. What does God say? He said, I will be your help. I spoke about that some time back there, that no matter what, God says, I'll help you. He says, I'll give you the words to speak and all that type of thing. So we have to remain focused, keep looking on the things of God, being Christ-like people. We all remember the story in the Bible about Peter walking on water. And when Jesus called him, he kept walking on the water. And as long as he stayed focused on Christ. But the moment he took his eyes off Christ, what happened? Peter started to sink and yelled out, Lord, save me, help me. And that's often the case in our lives, because we don't remain focused, keeping our sights and looking to Jesus Christ to help us get us through. And those times when we take our eyes off Christ, we do start to sink. I suppose we could get pretty stinking too sometimes, because when we're not focused, a lot of things happen, don't they? And so we don't just function the same, in a better way of putting it. But when people are around see you, you know, that your life is calm and you can handle these situations, and especially when it seems like you're surrounded by storms, and people are probably scratching their head and saying, look, he's got all these problems, they're going through this, they're going through that. And yet, you know, they're still looking, their hearts are right, they still set their sights on God, and they're probably saying, well, how do they function like that? Well, you've got the answer. You can say, because God is my help, my strength, and he's my fortress, and in him I will trust. But on the other hand, if they all they see is the top of your head as you sink in the water, there's not a whole lot to ask, is there? But so in all our evangelistic outreaches, we just need to look at people, treat people with respect and dignity. No matter what our circumstances are, we need to treat these people as we would want to be treated ourselves. You know, just because I'm in a stinking mood or something, it's no reason for me to treat someone else shabbily, is it? So what I'm saying is that, you know, whenever we have that opportunity, we need to show how that, you know, I don't change no matter what. I'm the same person all the time. And that's something we all should really work hard at being, you know, that type of person who doesn't change no matter what. And we know... Jesus, the perfect example. Jesus treated people right, didn't he? Even when they mistreated him. And people so I'm saying that people around you, wonder how you're able to show this kind of respect to others. You never know, they might even ask, what keeps you going? And have we got the right answer for that? When someone says, how do you cope with all this when it's all going on? And you've got a perfect opportunity, haven't you? To say, well, God is my help. And I couldn't get through this without God. And so you go on and you just share how God sustains you, how God gets you through. So we always have an opportunity, even in the times of not so good things happening. But... I feel in reaching out to others, there are many times, I think, all the time, we just need to be a blessing people, don't we? A blessing to others. And that's something I think we all need to work on better, as being a blessing people getting into that type of thing, of helping people more, being more caring, being more personal, being more relational, all that type of thing. And as we do that, you know, there's going to be amazing things happen as you do that. You know, there's going to be seed sown for a harvest in your own life. You know, because you know yourself, when we get things right, when we do things right, when we're in God's will, at the end of the day, we're going to reap a rich reward, aren't we? And so those seeds bring fruit. It takes root and grows. And also, as we become a blessing people, a caring people, it shows others who we're reaching out to that, hey, these people are genuine. They really care about me. They want to help me. They want to be with me. Sincerity, isn't it? You know, that you live what you believe. As I just said, saying a Christian is one thing, but living it in tangible ways every day is something else. What does the word of God says? They will know them by their fruit. That's right. And we can only be known as believers as we live Christian life and be in God's will, doing his things. And with being a Christian, it's not always easy. I think many times, it could happen the daily with some people, where we're asked to compromise, and the Word of God tells us clearly that we shouldn't compromise. You know, we can't water down God's Word. Some things that mightn't just sit with them, but we can't change it just to suit their ears. And so we are not expected to compromise today. But situations happen every day where compromise is not only possible, but many times it is expected. People out there, there's a world out there, want you to change your values, your standards, your way of life, the way you do things, just to suit them. And it's not all, you know, we can't always be that type of people, can we? And we've got to make it. There's lots of issues and things where we clearly just have to stand on the principles of God, walk in His way, and to do what He says to do. Then we, at the end of the day, you can say, well, you know, I done that, and I stood, you know. And so show people that your Christianity means living a life of integrity and character. God wants people with character and integrity. You know, they're vital ingredients, important ingredients in our walk with God and in our faith, our belief. You know, they're the very things that sustain us. You know, if we have character, if you have integrity, you can be trusted and all that type of thing. So, even to the point of going down the supermarket, get a bottle of milk and the cashier gives you $5 extra. Do you give it back? Of course you do. You know, if they cheated you, you'd soon be jumping up and down, wouldn't you? So, you know, we have to be people of integrity and always doing things God's ways. You know, there's always a temptation, isn't it, to do something different. Oh, I can do it, get away with it, or do something. But no, God says, you know, you walk in my ways, you do things my ways, and you will prosper. But as we grow in the things of God, you know, we learn, we grow. And one of the things I feel we need to do is being a forgiving people too, as well as being for blessing. That's all a part of the blessing, you know, that we can forgive. As you have that ability to forgive, so you feel better about it, don't you? And we are blessed because we are able to do that. And to an unbeliever, if you can go up and say, I'm sorry I offended you, I'm sorry I hurt you this way, or I done that and I should have, you know, these people can see, and you can show, you know, how Christianity works and that, you know. We need to become a model of forgiveness. It should be a natural part of our life, you know, because we're all capable of upsetting one another, aren't we? We can easily stand on one another's toes. But also, just as we're able to do that, we should be also able and willing to be able to say, I'm sorry. A small word, sorry, isn't it? But we find it hard to say. But we need to do that, have that ability to forgive. You know, don't let unforgiveness prolong and go on and on and on. It just amazes me how some people carry unforgiveness, and it destroys them. You know, it's a real burden with them when all they have to do is go up to someone, their family, and say, look, we've mucked this up. Can we start again? That's all it needs, doesn't it? And yet, many times it just never happens, and families and people just become disintegrated and apart and for so long, and it's so sad to see them. Probably the only time they'll get back together is at a funeral or something, and, you know, it's all too late. Never too late, but it's there. But we need to have that ability to forgive, and so others will see, you know, that, hey, this, and we can say, well, you know, I forgive you because Jesus Christ forgave me. He died for my sins. And it's all a part of that witnessing, that sharing, coming out. But again, the best way to share our faith is to be an example, isn't it? People will want to know how peaceful you're going to be in the storm, how peaceful, how we're going to react. People might want to ask, you know, why are your kids doing so well? Why is your marriage so great? And how do you know for sure about, you know, your purpose in life? How do you know all this? And you can say, well, God's with me and God's directed a path for me in life to walk along. He's called me according to his will and purpose. And I want to walk in his ways and to be the person that he wants me to be. And so, you know, we want to be able to share this with, as people, if they ask, you know, the questions, you know, what's life all about? What's it all about? And so we can see. But in doing all this, having the right attitude and coming before God, first of all, and as we do that, we can relate to people out there and walk in God's ways. And Jesus had the right attitude, didn't he? He was a forgiving, caring, compassionate, loving, all those attributes that we like in the life of Jesus Christ. And they're the things that we want to instill into other people's lives to help them get through life and to be a part of his kingdom. And Jesus said, as we know so well from Matthew 28 verses 18 and 20, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit, teaching them that to observe all that I have commanded you. All that I've commanded you. And Jesus said, and I think Pastor spoke about this morning, and he said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That's a powerful promise, isn't it? That you're not alone. When you're out, when we're speaking to people, that's the promise of God. Jesus said, go and make disciples. Speak to people. Reach them. And he said, I'm going to be with you. You're not on your own. I'll help you. So, as I said, you know, for us, some of us, sharing our faith might call us to feel afraid. And I feel that part of this fear might come from lack of training, but also part of it can be a result of our misplaced faith. We've heard Pastor Patricia speak about positioning ourselves, being at the right place at the right time, getting ready to go, and that's where God wants us to be. And so this faith that's been given to us so freely by God, you know, we're not just relying on it, we're not trusting on it. And so that's what I mean, this misplaced faith. We have to get that faith in the right place and go with everything that God wants us to be. Our faith to witness cannot be in our ability to persuade. Some people have a real persuasive ways when they speak, don't they? But it's not all about that. It's rather in the power of God. And as we put this faith in the right place, call upon the strength of God, you know, we're going to speak as good as anyone and reaching out. And to reach people and let people see the power of God at work and in the life of an unbeliever. We must remember that successful witnessing is simply taking the initiative to share Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what it's all about. It's about learning and leaving the results of God. When we often say, oh, I'd love to reach someone today, love to speak, to share my faith with someone. What should we do? What's the first thing we do if that thought comes upon us? Pray. That's what, pray. And as we pray, as we sing that song, you know, the heavens will open, all this type of thing. God will make a way, we know that. Pray for opportunities to share. Pray for specific people. asking God to give them a hunger, for God to give them a hunger that they will want to know and have a hunger for spiritual knowledge. And as an opportunity does present itself, acknowledge, you know, your dependence upon God, because we can't do it in our own strength. We can't. We can only do it in the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit. And give God all the praise, the glory for what he's about to do in that person's life. And as we do that, you know, you can get on with the job and knowing that God is in control. And in all our reaching out, God wants us to be authentic. And that what that means, that your life, my life, your life, confirms the message we speak. People don't want to hear imposters, do they? The Apostle Paul said in his message to the Thessalonians that they not only heard his message, but they saw how his life was further proof of the truth of his message. And I'd just like to read that passage of Scripture again from 1 Thessalonians, verse 5. Chapter 1, verse 5. And it says here, "For when we brought the good news, it was not only with words, but also with power, for the Holy Spirit gave you full assurance that what we said was true." And furthermore, he adds, "And the way that we lived among you was further proof of the truth of our message." That's what I'm saying, how we have to live Christ-like lives. We can't live one way, speak one way, and then go and do the opposite thing in our life. We've got to be Christ-like people. Everywhere, all the time. And also in chapter 2, verse 8 there, again, about being a caring people. "We loved you so much that we gave you not only God's good news, but our own lives too." That's so true, isn't it? When we disciple people, when we outreach, we've got to give a fair bit of ourselves over. If we want to, as I said, being a genuine, authentic type people, we've got to give a lot of ourselves out in that sense that we've got to give time. Be patient, caring, loving, all these types of things to portray the type of people that we want to be. But in witnessing, it's about leaving the results of the Holy Spirit. All Jesus said, go and make disciples and to reach and teach and preach, and that he wants us to do. Successful witnessing is taking the initiative to share Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit and leaving the results to God. The results are up to God. And so I'm saying, don't get confused about whose job it is to save people. A lot of people just want to save the world, don't they? And, you know, we can't do that. We can speak to people, pray for people, and share our faith, and that's all God wants us to do. But he says, let the Holy Spirit do the work. Leave the results to me. All I want you to do is speak. And as you've done what I've asked you to do, is you go home and pray that my power, my spirit will just speak into the hearts of people. And the other thing is about being a listener. You know, we have to be good listeners also in sharing your faith sharing your faith involves asking questions. And if you don't want to hear what people have on their hearts, you're never going to reach them in that way. But as I said, we need a little bit of stickability about us, don't we? We need to be patient, caring, just taking time to reach people and let the God's Spirit work with them. Let that Spirit stir up and rise up. And most of all, expect God to use you. Expect God to use you. Have that expect and hope. Hey, today I'm going to win someone for Christ. That's a mighty thing to do, have on your heart. And to be able to go out and to do that and to win someone for Christ. If every one of us won a person for Christ, one person a year, how much would our church grow? We'd move to the MCG if everyone done the job. It's true, isn't it? If every Christian believer won one person for Christ a year, you'd be having your services on the MCG or something. So, expect God to use you. And the challenge is, you know, many people in your world may get to hear about Christ because of you. Because of you. I'll leave that challenge with us all tonight. Because of you, someone will come to know Jesus Christ. Amen. Thanks for being patient with me and listening tonight. But again, Lord God, we just pray, Father. Lord, that we'll have the faith to believe. Lord, that you will use us. Lord, the faith to believe that we can go out and to reach someone for you, Lord. To speak the good news that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. And just saying to the other person, I want Jesus to be your Lord of your life. And to share in the same happiness, the same peace, the security that I have in the Almighty God by having Jesus in my life. I want you to have that in your life. And I just trust and pray, Lord, that even tonight, to throughout the coming week, and especially again as we approach the season where Jesus was born, the time we really highlight many things. Again, it's such a wonderful opportunity to share what the meaning of Christmas is all about. It's about the birth of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we just bless you. We thank you. We thank you for your great love for us. Lord, for those people who don't know you, Lord, let them be on our hearts that we might just bring that message to them, Lord. Lord, that person in my world, that I might be able to lead them to come to know you in the way that we do. So we say, bless you, Lord. We say, thank you, Father God, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen.